for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, May the 25th, 2001. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting. Being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bill Smith of Fort Worth, Texas is the speaker of the evening.
Isn't it wonderful and exciting to be a child of God? I wouldn't take nothing for what God is doing, revealing and unveiling today. We as a people of God, we don't have to live on yesterday's leftovers that came from some religious order, religious system. But I'll tell you, we're walking in a new day and a new order in God when God's saying to His people they must arise and take their place in Him. The Word of the Lord teaches us that we're the head and not the tail. And I believe that it's time that we as the people of God that we arise to the occasion and take our place in God. I am not satisfied with what's going on in the earth today. I'm not satisfied with what's going on with God's people today. And it's just like, wasn't it last week that you buried Sister Linda? And I got a call from Mississippi 3 or 4 days ago. And says, Brother Bill, says, I've mopped my kitchen in the last 3 times in the last hour. So, Brother Bill, I can't live between these 4 walls because he's just put his wife away. I want you to know tonight the Word of God teaches us that death is an enemy. It's not a friend. It's not a friend. The Word of the Lord says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. The enemy cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that you'd have life and have it more abundantly. And this is where that we are today. I thank God for the privilege, the opportunity of being in Lake Hamilton. It's been a while since I've been here, but my first trip in here was back in the 70s. Brother Glenn and Sister Irma spend, every year they spend the time when they're far away, they spend it in my home. I'm blessed to have them in my home. And Brother Dr. Null stays in my home as well. Christy has stayed there. But how many knows that it's time as we as the people of God to move forward? The old order that we were in is already finished. Pentecost was wonderful, and every human being on the face of this planet needs a Pentecost experience. But Pentecost is not the end. Brother and sister, I'm here to tell you that it's time for the tabernacling of God, that God and man living in the same house, united together, walking together in the same spirit. And this is where it is. Now, a lot of you might not know who we are. Maybe you don't care. And that don't matter a whole lot. We have been pastoring in Fort Worth or trying to pastor for many years. So a lot of you people have been there. And we work in Mexico. We've been in Mexico over 30 years. And God has enabled us. We should have more, but that's all. I'm not going to lie about it. We'll just tell you what we've got. We've got 18 churches that God has helped us build. Some is large. Some is small. And we have a Bible college. We were supposed to be opening up now, but it didn't work out. And so I believe that God wanted me to be here, so I'm here. And I think that God is wanting us to move into another dimension in God. Now, at home, every Saturday night, I'm ministering in a mission. I'm ministering to the homeless, those who are down on their luck and everything, and trying to show them that there is a better way in God. And there is hope in God. But, brother, I want to tell you something. When you and I came to this floor, we came with mixture within us. But, brother, from this day forward that we're going on into the fullness of God, there's not going to be any more mixture because God is moving it out, and it's going to be God and man united together, resting together in the same Spirit. So, now, how many believe that this earth is the Lord's? How many knows that Psalms 24, verse 1 said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? Yes. Paul picks it up again in 1 Corinthians and he said, the earth is the Lord's. So the enemy is an intruder. Now, I don't know how you would feel about this. I grew up as a young boy in the time that they were calling their parents the old woman and the old man. That never was mine because that was my mother, that was my father, and that was the only one that I had, and I loved them dearly. And so, I never will forget the time that I stood at the pulpit preaching my mother's and dad's funeral. And God is so gracious and so faithful to us. And He said to me, He said, son, you declare war on death in the manner that you never have in all the days of your life. And I stood there and I looked at my little mother, my little father, almost a year later. And as I wiped the tears from the pages of my Bible, I never had a job like that before. But I'll tell you, God's grace is sufficient. Now, and I want you to know, all that McGlynn was getting on me last night because my wife wasn't here. Well, she's the other half of the ministry. She's not back there in the back. She always is with me. And you know, there's one thing that I want to express to you tonight. All that my wife and I do is we preach, we worship, and we fish. And brother and sister, I want you to know, how many are fishermen in here? Did you know God loves fishermen? You know why God loves fishermen? Because they can tell the bigger story how the big one got away. Come on, fishermen, isn't that the truth? Got to tell the story how the biggest one got away. How many know there were 12 apostles? There were three that walked in the inner circle with Jesus. Their name was Peter, James, and John that walked in the inner circle. And they were fishermen. You tell me they couldn't tell the story how the big one got away, that death and hell in the grave couldn't hold him. Come on, his name was Jesus, wasn't it? He got away that death and hell couldn't hold him. And I'll declare to you tonight that God is looking for a sanctuary that He can come in and move and inhabit and dwell there unmoved. Now, let's go into the Word of the Lord. As Brother Glenn was talking to me about, I received a lot of calls from across this nation. And I tell you, folks, I'm not happy with what's going on. This world cannot change itself. It cannot change itself. How many know that Jesus Christ is the head of the church? He's going to have a church without a spot, blemish, or sprinkle, or any such thing. He's removing everything from the past. But listen, the church alone has not been the answer. Brother Glenn and many of you have been there. Both sisters right there have been to our place. We own all the property back to 26th Street. Brother, we don't need another church facing the other street over on our property. Brother Glenn, we need our church that we're in today doing the works of God. And this is what God has been dealing with me about. But now, how many has the enemy been trying to wear you out? How many is the enemy trying to get you to get your focus upon Him, that you'll get your focus up off from God? Come on. Now, I want you to look with me in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Am I going to drink that olive oil? I don't see no agua. Necesita agua con hielo.
And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, and dividing of time. 3.5 years. You look at this word wear out in the Hebrew, and it means to wear you out mentally. Now, brother, how many knows, as the Word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. By his words he are justified, or by your words you are condemned. Now the enemy wants to wear you out mentally that you can't even think of your own need. But God is bringing us into another order. Then let's notice, in case you didn't understand, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. This is what I feel that God's doing today. He said he's coming to be admired in the believer, but he's coming to be glorified in the saints. Now, brother, he's admired in all of the believers in the earth. But now there's a story, there's an order that's being changed. And he said, now I'm being glorified in the saints. And I want you to know I'm not talking about Peter and John and Andrew. I'm talking about a place in God that the Bible says, and the saints shall judge angels. He's coming to be glorified in the saints today. All right? Now let's look a little further. But the judgment shall sit, and they. What they? They who? The saints of the Most High God. How many knows that the Word of God, it says, it's not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, that enters in. It's he that doeth the will of the Father. Have not I cast out devils in your name? I prophesied in your name. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. What was he saying? I have had no union with you. Now, and they, what? Shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Before I started pastoring full time, I had an automotive business in Fort Worth, Texas. God blessed that business, and we did well. But how many has ever ate at cafes or stores or whatever it may be? And the service in that establishment was not very good. Maybe it was a cafe and the food wasn't very good. This is why the Copelands had to leave. Their children got poisoned on some chicken McNuggets. And it's food poison coming down here. And so after they get the name out, said, man, that place there on the corner is a sorry place to eat. Pretty soon they run all the business off and somebody else comes in and leases the building. The first thing that they do, Sister Mildred, is they hang a banner out and say, under new management. Patty, you know where I'm going to. I'll tell you, I love that Patty and Kevin. So they hang out a sign and said, under new management. Now, brother and sister, today, I think the devil has had it long enough, and that you and I begin to cry in the earth today, we're bringing this earth under new management. We're bringing it under the delegated authority of God, because the Word of God says the earth is the Lord's. And brother, you said, well, we can't do that. All right, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy to the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is what? Is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Now, brother and sister, you said, Brother Smith, you're only dreaming.
There was a man told me one time, he said, you'll never be able to walk into what you're preaching. I said, but brother, you forgot. The Bible said in Joel to dream dreams and see vision. You just let me dream on. Because one of these days, my walk will match my revelation. Now, brother and sister, I want you to know it's time that the message and the messenger is to become one. It's time for that order to come forth in the earth today. Now, declaring new management that we're bringing the earth. You said, well, are you a Democrat or Republican? I'm neither one. I'm a child of God. And I vote for what God tells me to do. Come on. Brother, I'm here to tell you, you can get all the presidents you want. Everything that you want, it's not going to change the order. What's going to change the order is the saints of the Most High God that's going to move in their place and begin to speak the word and bring these kingdoms down. Declare new management in the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All right? His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And His dominion, there is no end. Now, I want us to go into the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and let's look here at a moment. Now, just because Adam missed God, Cain missed God, there's still going to be a people that's going to stand up and declare His name in this earth. About 1967, I stood in the West Indies. I got a cablegram that my grandmother was found dead in bed. She was up in years. They said, Bill, if you can come home, we'll hold the funeral up until you can get home. And I went to sleep that night, crying on my pillow. Got up at 4 o'clock and run and hunted into another city. I found the phone booth. She said, how'd you do that? Well, I rented me a car, because when I got in there, one overseer would hold me in only in his district. And I said, I'm not staying in one place to feather your nest, because my mission is to reach this island. And so that's what I did. So I called back home and I said, if Ma could talk to me, she'd tell me to stay where I'm at and stay put. And after I cried my pillow till it was wet, my wife and I both, I went into a village that was the end of the road. We went in on the same road and you come back out on the same road at the end of the road. It went in, you turn and you come back out. I'll never forget that day till this day. Sister Mildred, out it from the dark, here come a little old lady come up there. And a prophecy was coming from the glory world. Come over and got me by the hand and said, son, I counted on Adam and I counted on Cain. And they proved the same. And now, son, I'm counting on you. In the West Indies. Brother, from that day on this, I said, God, I know that you're still counting on me. Hallelujah, God. So now I've got to walk in the fullness of God within this earth. Now, notice, he never changed his mind. Genesis 1, chapter, verse 25, chapter 1. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind. Cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. All right? And God said, let us make man. In what? In our likeness, in our image after our likeness. How many know that's never been changed? What God said in the beginning, I don't care how much Cain fell, I don't care how much Adam missed God. Let me tell you something. I don't know if it was an apple that Eve gave Adam or not. I don't know if it was or not. But I want you to know I'm not so much interested in that apple. Brother Kevin, as I am the parrot that's on the ground. Did you get it? Come on. I'm not so much interested in that apple as I am the parrot, Adam and Eve, that's on the ground. Now, brother, we are the feet ministry, and it's time that we begin to look like the head. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, let us make man in our likeness and our image. Now, verse 26, and God said, let them, what? And let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. Now, who is in charge? Come on, folks. God has placed us in charge. God has made you and I the feet ministry. He's the head. And God has placed us in charge. Now, how many of you are ready to declare new management in the earth? How many is ready? Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. And the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the water covereth the sea. You know, looking at Moses that day, he said in Numbers chapter 14, verse 21, he said, Moses, as truly as I live, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And then we look at Isaiah chapter 6. Here's the year that King Uzziah died. And Isaiah sees the Lord. He's high and lifted up, and his train's filling the temple. He moves on down the post move, and all of a sudden he said, and the earth is full of God's glory. Come on, this is the book, folks. And you know what? Who's going to do that? I'm coming to be admired in the believer, but glorified in the saints. Now, sure. Oh, yes. But you know what? I hear this. I'm going to. That's no word, no better than what we came from. One day. You know, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be happy when we get over there. Come on. That's no different. Brother and sister, it's time for you and I to step in and take up the slack. It's time for us to move in position and take our place in God and declare new management in the earth. All right? Now, let's go on here a little further. So now, you have dominion. Turn with me in Revelation chapter 12. And I want us to look here at the word of the Lord. Revelation chapter 12. And let's look here at the word of the Lord. Beginning at verse 5. Now, let's go to verse 4. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour a child as soon as it's being born. Let me tell you something. I knew Irma Miller when Irma was an executive. I knew Irma when she worked in classified information from the government. And brother and sister, I'm not going to be satisfied until I see her completely delivered.
Amen.
Come on. I want you to know, I don't come from the school said, Lord, give them an overhaul job, because the Bible never talks about an overhaul job. The God said, in the Word of God said, you put a piece of a new garment on the old, the rinse made worse. I'm not patching up nothing. Brother, I'm bringing forth a new creation. And so, I'm not going to be satisfied until I see her walking out of that. That's my sister. That's part of my family. And brother and sister, I'm here to tell you that it's time that we take her place. All right? Now, notice something. We look in the book of Job. And all of a sudden, after all, you know, Job's one of the oldest books of the Bible. And some said that Job was written by the unanimous writers, but most has ascribed it to Moses as writing the book of Job. And so one day God said,
Satan, where'd you come from? He said, I'm walking up and down in the earth, going to and fro. What was he doing? He was looking for a job. Yeah, I'm just walking up and down there. I'm looking for a job. Brother and sister, we as the people of God, it's time that we keep him unemployed. It's time. It's just like I tell you, I've learned so much by coming to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I tell you, God taught me many things and how to deal with spirits and how to see the groaning and travailing creation being set free. But you see, and then other people said, I've had them come to me and said, we don't need no part of them. They're demon chasers. Come on. Thank God they are. It's the truth, isn't it? Come on. What did the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27? It said, give no place to the devil. Where did you come from? Oh, walking up and down the earth, going to and fro, looking for a job. See who I can make sick and kill. Listen, folks, I repeat again. Death is an enemy. It's not a friend. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the last enemy shall be destroyed, which is death. Come on. Now, so, let's notice. All right? And so the enemy has drew a third part of the stars. All right? And what's he doing? He's right after. And she what? The dragon stood before, hadn't got seven heads. 10 horns. No. And then what? He was ready to devour a child as soon as it was being born. What do you think is happening to us today? Look at Brother Jack Harris. One of the greatest men that I've ever walked with in this earth. I've walked with Brother Jack Harris for 35 years. I was younger than they were. But I went and got my foot right on the table with them. I preached opposite service with him and Billy Schaffner for many, many years. But look at Brother Jack Harris. I talked to him a few weeks ago, and he said, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Now, brother and sister, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. And the Amplified Version says, I'm ready for anything. I'm equal to anything. That is, I am self-sufficient in His sufficiency. And this is where that we're at today. It's His sufficiency. Oh, you said, I went to God today and I told Him that I kept all the commandments and I did everything that You told me to do. Brother and sister, I never go to God. Oh, my goodness. I go to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and His goodness. He's the one that I go through, not me. All right. Then let's notice as we go on. And she still brought forth. And she brought forth a man-child who was what? To rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to the throne. Now, I want to skip on down to verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against the angels. Now, some people won't receive that, and it's controversial. But I believe that there were three high arching angels. There was Lucifer, there was Michael, and there was Gabriel. Lucifer said, I will be as God. And he went and exalted it five times. He was going to exalt himself as God. And he was overthrown. Michael is a war angel in Daniel 12. The Bible says, and Daniel prophesied in the last days and said, Michael will stand up. And so what's he doing? And Michael stood up. Now, Gabriel is a messenger angel. He stands in the presence of God. And he says, I've come to you to bring you a word from the Lord. I appreciate the word that God gave Brother Doc this morning for myself. Because I want to tell you something. I don't care how much you preach or how long you've been preaching. There's never a time, Brother Glenn, that we don't need a word from God. Brother, I want you to know, as people said, well, Brother Bill, here's what my brother-in-law, they own a fishing camp in Eufaula in Oklahoma. And of course, since I'm a great fisherman, I have to go up and see my folks, you know, when I can. So I got up there and the hot water heater's on the outside under a little bitty shed and it's ground sitting on some little stand there. And so the heating element, he said, they went and said, well, the company said they'll give us a new one because it's still in warranty. It's not time for it to be worn out. And so he said, let me go get one. And he ran and got one. He come back and he said, you know, we have to go up on the hill and said, we have to cut the water off. He said, can you work under pressure? I said, I've been doing that now for 39 years. I've been doing that for 39 years now. The people at our church, I said, yes, sir, we got our problems, plus we got yours too. And then I've got a mission field, and then I've got people across the United States of America. Yes, sir, Duff, I can work under pressure. And so he opened up, and I grabbed that to a heating element, and the water was just a squirting. And of course, it gave me a shower, and I asked my wife that county too. She said, no, it don't. So I got that heating element, and I got on my knees, and I pushed it into the hole, and I began to turn it. And I said, you see, there, because his nickname is Duck. I said, do you see, we know how to work under pressure. Now, brother and sister, today, if you can only rejoice when the sun is shining, brother, you're not talking, I'm not talking to where you're at tonight. I'm talking about, can you rejoice when everything is going in reverse, when everything is going down? Will you stand and declare that God is the God of the universe today? Hallelujah. Anybody can shout. Anybody can shout when everything's going well. But how about when adverse circumstances? And you know, when they came to me, never had a doctor, never had a family doctor. Nobody on this earth is as dumb about doctors as I am. Nobody can be that dumb. Bless you, Brother Dr. Newell. That's my buddy. So, come over and he said, God has smiled on you. Because you don't never come in for nothing. You don't never have a check. I said, I'm sorry, but I just don't need you. I never have needed you. And then I said, I'm sorry. I apologize. I said, I'm sorry. I don't know nothing about none of this. He said, it ain't you being dumb. You just didn't need a doctor. And come up there and he said, Brother Smith, he said, God has smiled upon you. Well, that was no news for me. I've been knowing that for 39 years. And he said, you know, there is a trace of prostate cancer. And he said, but you know, he looked at me, was nearly weeping because he's a Christian man. And he said, but God has so smiled on you that we can deal with that and do away with that. He said, how do you know? I don't know. I ain't never had a problem yet. But they made me have problems. But I ain't had no problem yet. So I said, buddy, I'm going to get some good news. And that's how I got to come here. I said, doctor, I start calling you the first day of April so I can go in the first day of May that when my 3 months is up. And then I've got to get into Mexico to see about our children. But maybe God wanted me to be here. I don't know. But he said, and I said, I couldn't catch you. Couldn't get a hold of you. You're gone or you're so busy. And he said, I want to know something. How come you went into Mexico 4 days after you quit taking some radiation? I said, I had to go take care of the Lord's business in Mexico. And he thought, well, I ain't going to get nothing on him. And I said, I had to be down there because I couldn't leave. He said, you shouldn't have left that soon. I said, well, I'm here today. I'm here today. And I told him, and I said, buddy, I'm going to walk away from there and everything will be all right. I go in there and he said, well, Bill, he said, this test that we're doing today ain't going to mean nothing. Well, why am I there then? I ain't got time to be there. He said, because that Lupron shot you took will cut the rate down so low it won't be accurate. Well, why am I there then? So you see, the enemy is always trying to pull down God's people and trying to report the duty that tears apart. But brother, it's time that we stand and declaring God that He's on the throne. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. Hallelujah. you know, they said, you don't even look like you've ever been sick. I said, well, I don't know if I have or not. I don't know. But I'm telling you one thing. I don't have to depend upon humanity. Sister Mildred, I never forget the time about 15, 20 years back on that platform when people were slain in the spirit all over this place. This woman got up here and got me by the arm like this here. I was preaching and she was walking by my side going through the... And I told her when it was finished, the spirit lifted. I said, you scared me. She said, yeah, you look like you was. Remember that, Patty? Yeah. But come on. Now, notice what happened. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against the angels. Now, angels in your Bible, Revelation 1 says it's pastors. But angels are messengers of the Lord. All right? Now, let's read on a little further. And the great dragon was what? Cast out that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now look at the verse 10. And I heard a loud voice. Brother Kevin, watch God say, under new management. Under new management. He's been kicked out to the earth, and now there is a new manager that's coming on. Hallelujah to our God. And you said, I don't believe that. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 said, I looked and there was 144,000 upon Mount Zion. And they've got the Father's name written in their forehead. And they follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes. What is that name? It's the birthmark. It's the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Is that too strong, Mildred? Come on. Under new management. Now, was Adam and Eve driven from the garden? Grace took them out of the garden because God was not going to let them reproduce in that order of that fallen nature. And brother and sister, this is why that our churches hasn't grown in a lot of ways today. This is why. You said, what are you talking about, Brother Smith? I know what it is to minister in Lake Hamilton and the chairs against that wall and two lines at this table's inside here and the curtains pushed back and I minister to all of them in this place. Right, Brother Glenn? Brother and sister, you tell me. Say, well, there's a falling away. Where have they been, brother? It's fell away from God. It's time that we restore the years that the cankerworm, the puddle worm, has destroyed in the body of Christ. It's time that we bring life. We bring healing to the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Where'd you come from? Going to and fro in the earth. And all the same time, I was walking 4 miles a day in out there walking on the track. And Brother Glenn, the devil come here. He said, God don't love you. You've given the best part of your life and preaching and going across this nation proclaiming the kingdom of God. He doesn't love you. Look at you. You're going to die with cancer now. Come on. There's no hope. You've had it. But there's one thing about it. Let me tell you something. This is about the 6th or 10th Bible that I've worn. No wonder God said to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly handling it or rightly dividing the word of truth. And the very first thing that when he said that to me, I said, devil, you know what? You are a liar, and you're a liar from the beginning, and you're even the father of it. The very first thing that when he said that to me, I said, devil, you know what? You are a liar, and you're a liar from the beginning, and you're even the father of it. I ain't got no time to listen to a loser. Come on! I ain't got no time to listen to a loser. So, and all of a sudden, I was going down that track. And all of a sudden, my brother God spoke to me. I just stopped. And he said, son, this is a learning process for you. It's a learning process. And I'll tell you what, never having any pains or anything, and going for that radiation, I had sympathy on ones that were sick, and I thought, well, why are you laying there? You ought to be up. So it's been a learning process for me. But I'll tell you one thing. God has made Himself so real in every area, every facet of His Word. God has honored His Word. He has kept His Word. And what He said He promised to me, He's given it to me. Now, declaring. And I heard a loud voice what was saying. Buddy, our first parents, our grandfather, father, father, grand, 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 grandfather, Adam, was kicked out of the garden. And the fiery cherubims was put over the entry of the Garden of Eden to guard, keep out. You can't enter in that fallen state. But now, guess what? The order's been changed. Oh, the order's been changed now. And now, he said, under new management, and he's kicked out. Come on. Is that right? Am I reading this right? And what now? Let's look at it. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice, a clear voice. I want to tell you something. I travel with ministry, and I have a big Ford diesel power stroke. God has blessed me with a brand new one, and I thank God for that. I didn't beg or borrow or steal from nobody. Ask Brother Glenn. We just don't do that. God knows what we have need of before we ever ask. Amen. You said, well, how'd you do that? Well, I had some money. And by the wisdom of the Lord, I invested that money and kept investing that money until there was enough money to pay cash for a new diesel. Come on. God will watch over His stuff. Now, and so, these preachers, Brother John, then. And I'll be running along there 70, 75 miles an hour. You said, do you run past the speed limit? Well, I cut my schedule so close I have to move. Come on. I won't go 3 days ahead of time for a meeting. I get in there for the time for it to start. Because I feel like that I need to be home as much as possible because I'm gone so much. And so, these preachers said, no. I said, now look, if you're talking to me, you're going to have to talk up beyond this diesel. And don't talk like you've got mush in your mouth. Speak up. Come on. But listen to what he said. A loud voice. What was it? A clear voice. A clear voice. All right? Saying, in heaven, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation. Now. And I want you to know that's not repeat after me either. Brother, we're talking about great eternal salvation. Yes. There are three realms of salvation. Common salvation in the book of Jude. Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 said to eternal salvation to everyone that obeys Him. Brother, up to there it didn't cost you nothing, but from there on it's going to cost you everything you are. So, now, notice what he says. A clear voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, eternal salvation. And what? And strength and the kingdoms of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. He works both shifts. Huh? But now, you come down. We're talking about new management now. I told my wife, I said, honey, I know that we've been walking with God for a long time. But in the night, last night, Brother Kevin, God woke me up. I was sitting straight up in the bed. My wife, she said to me, she says, Bill, I don't know if you're going to fight. Say you're preaching and you're talking in tongues and talking to God. All of a sudden, God said to me, he said, son, you stand in this earth and you declare that you're bringing it under new management. Now, brother and sister, how many knows that Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, "And the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and you shall reign forever and forever." Is that long enough? Is that long enough? Oh, hallelujah. This is where we're at today. I never will forget the time. 23 years old in Beaumont, Texas. And they said to me, said, "I'll tell you what, Billy. When you get a little older, you'll cool down. They ought to see me now. When you get a little older and you get simmered down," said, "you'll cool off. You get you five messages that you can memorize and go preach them." I said, "You mean God's dead? He ain't giving no new ones?" You see, I was a smart aleck. And I said, "But now you ought to see me now, 39 years later, and seeing what God is saying and doing in the country of Mexico and as we minister across this land." Man came, called me. How many knows we want to bring answers? Sister Bernadine, we want to be an answer, not a problem. An answer. So, this man, his family, come to the convention. And I want to tell you something. I believe what's good for me is good for my granny. She's been my girlfriend since she's 13 years old. She's still my girlfriend. And so, they came down for the convention. But Daddy was so busy that he couldn't come. So they found out that there was 2 days that he could have been in the convention, but he didn't show up. You know what? Last Monday morning, this week, Monday morning at 8:30 in the morning, says, "Papa Bill, I'm in dire need. My family and we're having problems." Let me tell you something, brother, wasn't it, Brother Doc? There is no mavericks out there. There is no individual perfection out there. Brother, you will not get perfected alone. And so, I said, "But brother, where were you at during the time we were meeting with God?" "Well, I said, "Yeah, and that's why that we're in the position that we are now. Kevin, it means more to know the mind of God than to have money to go back home to Fort Worth, Texas. It means more to know the ways of God than to go back to Fort Worth, Texas." So now you see the condition. Because why? They created the storm, and so now they're going to have to let God help them uncreate the storm. And then we have a man named Warren Coker. Went over and moved out on the trailer park deal. And so he said, "You know, Brother Bill," he said, "you know, it costs a lot of money to drive into town to go to church and everything." I said, "Yes, sir, but God will provide." And he said, "You know, I think that I'm just going to stay home and I'll get perfected at home." I said, "It's not possible. It's contrary to the Word of God. Because, Brother Kevin, as this day approaches, the Bible said, we increase the times of coming together." Come on. Read it. Read it. Read it in Hebrews. Come on. Because that's exactly what it means. When the day you see approaching, you increase the times of coming together. So the other day, he called me. So I went over there, and I said, "Warren, you better get back to the church and get yourself reconnected under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, listen, there is none of us that's cut loose. We're all going to submit to higher powers. And we're going to submit to one another." And so I said, "Brother, you're going to die." He said, "They had to open me up and put a stamp in there in my heart." And I said, "Brother, you better get yourself connected back to God. Because if not, you're going to die after. Because a member cut off will be buried, but the body will live on." Now, notice what he says here. He said, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death." Huh? Now, brother, this is what we're talking about. New management. A loud voice. A loud voice. A clear voice. Now, am I getting long-winded? No, I guess it's 8:30. Go with me now into Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel 22:30, notice what he says. And I sought for a man. Now, if you'll look this up in the Hebrew, it says, I sought for a champion. Come on. I sought for a champion. Now, brother and sister, there ain't no little old bitty sissies with no backbone is going to be an overcomer in this earth today. Let me tell you something. Things is going on in our city. I've been there since I was 19 years old in my city, Fort Worth, Texas. Never been, except for the last couple of years. When my wife and I even go to buy groceries, we drive bumper to bumper in traffic to get to go buy groceries. We never did that before. There's nothing for anybody to get out there and just tag you, and they run in and out on there. And then if they don't like you, then they do the signals at you. Come on. I've never seen such an hour as we're living in. And I want to tell you something. I sit in my living room and cry a many a night. Not because my wife and I are having problems, but I see the condition the church is in. I see the condition that religious is in on television. I see what's going on. Brother and sister, I weep over because I see they're not doing what God said they would do. And they're putting on and playing games. I've never seen anywhere in the Scripture where Jesus played games. And they get up there playing games. Brother and sister, I want to see results. I want to see God set groaning and travailing creation free. Now, and I sought for a man, a champion, among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me, or the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I want to tell you something. It's hard in that asphalt jungle that I live in to find a church that's moving with God. Now you can find them that is playing church and playing games. The other day, lady came to me. She says, Pastor, she said, my son works out at Lockheed at the airplane factory. Says he's in a powered wheelchair. And says, Pastor, he wants God. And said, would you build a ramp or have one done and I'll pay for it? I said, did you know that my master was a carpenter and he can teach me how to build a ramp? So I jumped in there and I built a ramp. Sunday there was 20 people that came in. And one family, brother, and wife had 10 children. Now, you tell me that ain't a family. And I looked at them and they said, well, they're making a lot of noise. And I said, I want to tell you something. I'd love to hear that noise because why? There ain't been enough children crying in our church. There ain't been enough children crying in our church. And I said, brother, don't you worry about none of them crying. If we can't handle it, we'll put some cotton in their ears. Come on. If we can't handle it. And brother, and they come in there. And the first thing, you know, I don't know what's going on. So I said, well, I'm not going to be wild this morning. And so my wife, she said, I'm not going to be too wild either. She said, I'll sing some more calmer courses. And my wife, you ask Brother Glenn, sure, ask Sister Bernadine. My wife's a worship leader. But if she knows the mind of God, and that's why Glenn was getting on my case last night. And so we altered it down just a little bit. All of a sudden, I looked over there, and the lady, one of the wives, raised her hand. And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she says, "Brother Pastor, I can't breathe. I can't breathe." And my mother-in-law says that you just speak the word. And I said, "Well, it's God's word. And I want you to know she came. We laid hands on her and God gave her a miracle right there in the church." Come on, folks. I don't have to do it. All I have to do is obey God. I don't have to honor His word like that He does. That's His word and He will honor it. He'll uphold it because the word of God says it won't fall to the ground. He'll hold it up until it comes to pass. He looked at me weeping and said, "I haven't heard this much truth since I've been a Christian. It's time that you and I pull the blinders back and we move into that Word of God and we begin to become the oracles of God in this earth and do what He's called us to do." Hallelujah. This woman right here sitting in my service had a handkerchief up here. And oh, they thought she had a tumor. I don't know what she had. But I'm just telling you, she had a lot of problems. I was preaching just like I am tonight. I turned around and I laid hands on her. And from that day to this, there's been no more. Come on, folks. It don't strain God. It don't hurt God to answer your prayer. And brother, I said, "Now, we can't wait till next service time. Come on, folks. They might not think so much when we get a little more wilder than what we are. But that's all right. The Bible said, since the days of Baptists, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." Come on. Hallelujah. But you see, this is where that we're at. And Brother Glenn, I almost fainted. And I thought for a minute they're going to have to pour water on me. Here is the denominational pastor that's been coming to my Bible studies on Thursday night. I've been teaching in our fellowship hall at home on Thursday night. They come in there and she said, "Brother Smith, would you come and preach at our church Wednesday night?" Come on. But I didn't open up the whole sack. You see, there is psychology and there is slycology. Give them a little bit at a time. You see, when I started pastoring, I started taking baby rattlers a little bit at a time. I didn't take them every way away at one time. I went and took them away a little bit at a time. But brother, how many knows it's time to declare new management in this earth? Come on. Let this earth be filled with God's glory as never before. I'm tired of seeing God's people being in the condition that they're in. Brother Kevin, it don't match the Word of God. It does not. And it's time that we be that champion in the earth. Now, you know, I think of Naomi and Ruth and Orpha. Did you know that they went to just a sojourn in Moab? They were in Bethlehem, Judea, which means the house of bread. But they decided to go down into Moab I have never seen a step going away from God that's ever been profitable. Come on, folks. You follow after the heart of God. So, go along there. All of a sudden, all the husband ministry dies off because God was not going to produce after that order no more. Come on. Come on. Am I telling the truth? Orpha's husband died. Ruth's husband died. Naomi's husband died. No reproducing. Goes down there and Naomi says, you know, I went out full, but God's brought me home empty. And it's at barley harvest time. But you know what? Here was little old Naomi, which was a type of the church. And she kept telling Ruth what to do. You go down there and you glean behind the reapers. And that's exactly what we have done. Everyone that's in this room is just about has been outcast. But how many knows Isaiah? I'm going to symbol the outcast together. We didn't fit in organized religion. So we're outcast. So guess what? But Naomi says, Ruth, you go out there behind the reapers. How many knows we didn't used to be down on front row. We was down behind the railroad track. But now, guess what? They were running along there and they were picking. And they picked, but guess what? They let some fall. There's handfuls on purpose, wasn't it? Is that what the book says? And some fell. And they, you know who that some was? That's you and I. Reached down in the dirt and we picked up after they picked up and we began to pick up the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come into the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the stature of fullness of Christ, being no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about, when the dark slide, men cunning crying, whereby they lie in wait this evening, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in the head. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Now, so, she does that, and then guess what? Boaz, which is a mighty man of the will, which was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes in, and the reapers have a blessing on their lips. Boaz has a blessing on his lips. But guess what? There was a little Moabitess. How many know she couldn't come through until 10 generations of purification? Because her ancestry came from incest. Come on. 10 generations of purification before they could come into the lineage of God. And guess what? She said, you go down here at thrashing floor at midnight. And said, Boaz is coming down there. And when he comes down, said, you just get there by a skirt. And oh, at midnight, he had drank and he laid down. Boaz took that skirt. He put it over that little Moabitess that had nothing coming. And redeemed her unto him. And then, the next thing that happened, he takes her unto him as wife. Who was produced Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, to bring it in to the lineage of God. Because why? God said, I'm not going to produce after that order. Now I'm coming under new management. Come on, it's not going to be after that order. I'm coming after another order in God. And it's going to be after the lineage of God. You see, I am just dumb enough to believe that I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm just dumb enough to believe he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
I believe that I'm a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Because when the Bible says I am.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't know, my wife's not here to wave the calendar. She says, you don't look at your watch, so the day's going to pass on you. Come on. But I want to tell you something. I am addicted. I am addicted to this. How many of you ever read the first book, first chapter of Hosea? Come on. He said, oh, there. Awake, ye drunkards. Weep, or joy. Weep and howl. Let me tell you something. I am addicted to God's Word and to the Spirit of God. Weep and howl between the porches and the altar because the seed is rotting under the clods today. And there's not a word that's going to bust these clods that the Word can take root in the heart of this earth of this people today. There's a preacher that Sister Bernadine knows and that I know. Here's the way that they do it. Said, if I get caught out with a woman, said, I'm going to lie out of it and then I'll repent. Come on. Brother, I ain't seeing what I can get by with God. I'm seeing how close I can get to God. I don't know what I can get by with. I'm not interested. I want to know how I can get closer and closer to the heartbeat of God. How many knows there were 12 apostles, but three of them walked in an inner circle that the others never walked in? Come on. But brother, I sought for a man. I sought for a man. All right? Go with me back in the book of Hebrews chapter... No, I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. And let's look here and I'll try to close right here. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. I'm going to take verse 9. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and thou wast redeemed us unto God by thy blood and of every kindred and tongue, people and nation. Now, and God hath. My wife and I have two daughters. They're both educators. They both have master's degrees in English and Spanish. And well, I wonder why they started taking Spanish when they were little. Huh? Because they didn't know no better. Said, I got to go help my daddy. And so, both of them speak Spanish fluently. Glenn says, why don't you bring both your daughters down here with you? One stands there with my wife and leads worship, and the other one's on the piano. Come on. And so, but my girls speak Spanish, and they're teachers. And you know what? And their English majors have. You know, that's already taken place. I hear people saying, God's going to. God's going to. Come on, folks. How many in your life's a thief? I don't see no hands raised. I don't like a thief either. Because they broke into my diesel and took my power plant, 5,000 watt power plant, all my tools and everything else they could get. And I don't like a thief. You know what? All of my life I've heard people talking about when Jesus hung between the two thieves. Boy, there was one of them was a good thief. Come on. And it's just like some of us today. What did he say? Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And your name, Donna? Donna, he was already in his kingdom. He didn't have to come in. He was already there. And we say, well, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, will you do something? I want you to know, wake up and smell the coffee. It's time that we possess the land in God. When you come in,
just picking their pockets, picking their pockets. Brother, he's ruler now. He's not going to be. He is. He is. He's not one day going to be. He is. And so my girls, they said, Daddy, it's sure good that we're along because you butcher Spanish pretty good. But says some of the words you don't get it right. I said, they understand me. At least I ain't done like some of them did. They told them, said, they meant to tell them to stand up and raise their hands. And they said, sit down on the floor and stick out your feet. At least I ain't never got that bad. Come on, folks. But you know, when I go into that country, we go in there not afraid. We go in there is to conquer that land. Sister Mildred, we have saw the land. Come on. You've saw it. Remember what John says in 3? You have to see the kingdom. That's not good enough. You've got to enter the kingdom. All right. Now we've saw the land. We've entered the land. But Sister Dawn, it's time for us to conquer the land. Huh? I'm still talking about new management. Well, after all, got to wait till the sweet by and by. Brother, I want you to know what we're going to do about the nasty now and now. Come on. Arise and take our place. Come on. This afternoon, Donnie was asking me, he said, Brother Bill, is it possible? Could you just stay with us over the weekend when you come to North Carolina? And I said, Brother Donnie, it's just not possible. I want to tell you something, folks. This land needs to be filled with God's glory. Come on. I'm tired of sickness. I'm tired of diseases. Come on. And I'm tired of the enemy trying to put things on you to get your focus on him and off from God. Come on. And you'll get your focus on what he's trying to do and get your focus off from God. And brother and sister, we can't do this. If you keep your focus upon God, if God be for you, who can be against you? Who shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall famine or pestilence? None of these things move me. Because all of these, I'm more than a conqueror. Come on. How many's ready to walk out and declare that it's time? It's time. Death is no friend of yours. And the last enemy, what? Shall be destroyed. Talking about Brother Glenn. People said, Brother Glenn's carrying a big load. That's why I'm here. I love this man. All ever since then I met him, I said, that's the little man with the big stick. I love this man. But I want to tell you something. He's carrying a big load. But I want you to know this. The Bible said He will renew our youth as an eagle. And brother and sister, Brother Glenn just now get in position that he can get a new release from God. Come on, folks. It's time for you and I to move in and possess our possession in God. Let's stand together. Father, tonight, we're grateful for Your precious Word. God, we know that Your Word is forever settled in heaven. And God, You've called us to settle Your Word in this earth. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And God, today by Your help and grace, we will declare new management in this earth, Lord. God, we know that You are the Lord of the heaven and of the earth. The heaven is Your throne, the earth is Your footstool. And God, we praise You today that You have given us this place.
that to rule, to reign in you.
Father, while we're standing in your presence tonight, I take dominion over every incurable disease that's in this place. I speak unto every root of deterioration in every life that's in this building. Father, I take dominion by the delegated authority in Jesus' name. I curse the root of every incurable disease that's in this place in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Your word is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. And God, we send your word to everyone that's in this place tonight, Lord, to take dominion over it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Glenn.
Joseph, prayer meeting in the morning with Brother Doc at 6 o'clock. Service at breakfast at 8 o'clock. Service again at 10 o'clock in the morning. And as you lay down tonight, ask God to make this a living word in your life. To cut away everything that's not of God. Cut away everything that brings death to you. Because, brother and sister, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slack, but is long-suffered to usward, not willing that any should perish, but should all have eternal life. Come on. How many knows God wants you to live? Wants you to live. Brother and sister, I've rebuked death before, and I've seen God remove death before. Come on, folks. You're some of the greatest people that's upon this planet. Come on. And so you just as might as well move into us, because some is. And so how about us doing it? The Lord bless you, and we'll see you in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.